Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Did you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. In Dallas today, our man, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, what's up, man?
Oh, man, I think a storm is coming. I really believe a storm is about to come. I feel it in the air, in my bones. You know how you can tell in your kneecaps that the weather's coming. That's how it feels in Dallas right now.
Why are you like Dirk holding the mic? I don't understand.
Like, I know, right?
let me send one out to the ladies.
You know what I'm saying?
And our guest this week, our guy, Josh Robbins from The Athletic. Josh, thank you for joining us, sir. Always a pleasure to see you, to talk about.
Thank you.
Yes, we wanted to bring you in to talk about. Not only you cover the Wizards now for us at The Athletic, but you have institutional knowledge about the Orlando Magic, who got the first pick in the draft. You covered them for many years before coming up to D.C., so you were the guy we wanted to...
Oh, wait. He's not here to go off on me and our show on behalf of Orlando Magic fans. Apparently, we upset a few.
I saw that.
D.A. So.
Yeah, you, Marcus, I think you and Timmy Cato are persona non grata. You have that fan base going 10 mostly miserable seasons waiting for some lottery luck, and then it arrives, and then the esteemed Marcus Thompson says, who wants to see Orlando get the first pick? Can you imagine what that must have felt like? And then Tim Cato says, oh, I've never been to Orlando ever. So it's almost like an inadvertent kick. The old
kick them when they're up. Kick them when they're up.
And you know, I saw the hurt that I caused in the Orlando Magic fans. I recognized it. And on Hoops, not on Hoops Adjacent, on Point of Contention, I offered my apology. But I feel like I should do it here because this is where it began. I apologize that Orlando fans have had to endure the Magic's ineptitude and practical irrelevancy. And I wish them nothing but the utmost success, and hopefully one of these days we will get Tim Cato to Orlando.
Tim will come to
Orlando. And one of these days it will actually matter that they have the number one pick, because right now nobody cares except them.
That's the point I tried to make on Twitter, and it went back and forth a couple of times. The Magic have one winning record since Dwight left. One. Jeez. And two playoff appearances. And so, yes, the Magic right now are not relevant nationally. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a columnist is going to say something that the fans don't like. That's now the columnist, at least, it's his or her job to offer an opinion. Yes. And you know what? The Magic need
but
to
it's not an opinion against the Magic fans. It's an indictment on the Magic.
That's right.
It's not the fan. It's an indictment. I'm mad with them, as a matter of fact. You know, my all-time favorite, one of my all-time favorite players, and easily the best uniforms of all time,
Yes.
I grew up on Penny Hardaway. That's my era of high school. I was all about the very first foam posits. I spent $196.94 on a pair of sneakers for the first time ever. They were Penny Hardaway's. Then you got to get the black Orlando jersey to go with it. I'm all with the
pinstripes.
Magic,
those were beautiful.
Yes, those were beautiful. This hip hop icons here, staples here. Yes, so yes. I'm with it. I was more with. I don't like how the Magic have run their franchise. So.
Well, that
was my shot.
They have They've leaned into. Let's be fair now. They've leaned into rebuilding, lengthy rebuilding, and not quite as bad as maybe the process was. But you know, and they've had injuries. To be fair, now you know they've had injuries.
And they do have a lot of good young players.
They do,
right?
They have a surplus of point guards now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But to your point, to your point, Josh, I mean, they have not been good record-wise for a long time now, you know? So that's why I think there's some clapback against, you know, the franchise, not because the fans are bad. The fans are great, but, you know, you can't keep losing 55, 60 games every year. And it's not that, I mean, everybody, I guess, under you, but you would know better than I, so you covered them. It never seemed to me, Josh, that there was any type of ownership kind of saying, hey, we got to be better. We can't keep losing like this. Like, we got to start winning some games, and an imperative to improve the roster and the one-loss record.
That did occur. That occurred about 2 years into the first rebuild after Dwight left.
Okay.
And Jock Vaughn took the blame.
Yeah.
Unfairly.
Yeah.
And then not long after that, the Oladipo trade, the Oladipo and Sabonis, draft rights of Sabonis trade for Serge Ibaka, which was the most wrong-headed move that they could have possibly have made, because Ibaka didn't want to be there. He wanted to be in Toronto. So yes, there was some interference at that time, or there was some prodding at that time.
Yeah.
But you guys see my hairline. It's not because they lost. It's because I was sitting there years and years and years having to file a first edition gamer at the gun. And when a team is a 55 loss team, you never know how those games are going to
end. Those are the most dramatic ones, right? Because it's a million ways to lose. It ain't that many ways to win.
I will tell you guys, when I was covering the Bullets, they were so bad. So this was 5 years of just dread, just 22-60, 25-57, year after year after year. And so the last year they were in Atlanta at a game, and they were down by 20, of course, in the first quarter. I wrote my lead was just about Ted Turner and Jane Fonda, who were sitting courtside because Ted owned the Hawks at the time. And I just wrote about how handsome Ted looked and how beautiful Jane Fonda was, and what a power couple they were. And the people of Atlanta must be really proud of. And then in the fifth paragraph, I said, oh, by the way, the Wizards lost by 100. And so my editor said, well, I spiked that. I can't.
That's actually pretty good, DA.
Dude, and I lost it. Dude, I lost, started screaming. I said, will you come down here and cover this shitty team?
Yo, I did something that got me in trouble with the desk like that. It's like loss number 50, whatever, on the season.
Yeah.
The Warriors, they, you know, Jay Rich and them, they had no shot of making the playoffs. Season was over. So I just I used Eminem's song.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the end of a game. They missed the final shot. And I'm like, I'll start my story with Eminem lyrics.
Right.
His palms are sweaty. Knees weak. Arms are heavy. I was like, you only get one shot. Right. Oh, he missed. Warriors lose again.
Right.
They were like, you can't be doing this on deadline. I was like, listen, bro, I'm just out here trying to survive.
Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God. So Josh, so let's bring it to June 23rd, and obviously they can pick whoever they want, right? And we know that their proclivity over the years has been towards length, right? They've always gone for length and upside, and certainly John Hammond drafted Giannis in Milwaukee. We all know that. And Jeff Weltman has always liked size as well. So they could they have their pick of size. They can take the ultimate size in Chet Holmgren, or they can take just pretty tall in Jabari Smith. I think it's going to be one of those two. What do you think they're thinking about as they decide what to do?
I think it is going to be down to those two players, Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren. And one of the issues that they're going to have to consider is health.
That's right. Right.
And not just because it's the smart thing to do under any circumstance, but because that team, I'm not in the geographical area anymore, has been very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Or Jonathan Isaac has missed more games than he's played. Chuma Okeke, when they drafted him, he had an ACL. Markelle Fultz, both the shoulder and the knee. So we could just go down the line and down the line and down the line. As I watch Chet Holmgren play, it's impossible not to see the competitiveness. It's impossible not to see the talent and the skills. But when I watch him play, I just worry he's going to get knocked on his rear, mm-hmm, and get hurt. And can he put on productive weight? Jabari Smith, to me, seems like so much more physically an NBA-ready player, mm-hmm, one who's probably less likely to be injured. And I think that will be a critical issue that they're going to have to reckon with. If they don't, and if whomever they draft gets hurt, well, that's yet another bit of potentially squandered.
Well, that leads me to a question that I was thinking about. It's obviously the question you always ask at the top of the draft, but with all the youngsters they have and the tough history they've had in that vein, is there any thought to trading the pick? Trying to cash it in to get some ready-to-win-now type of players? We've seen the teams with the all-veterans. We've seen the team with the all-youngsters, and probably the right mix is a combination of youngsters and veterans. Is there any possibility that Orlando could at least see what they can get for that number one pick and maybe bring in some veterans who are ready and proven?
I'm sure they'll have the discussion. You know, by the way, if you were to ever call me just to say hello, it would be nice for you and I to talk for once. But right, they would have those discussions. But I'd be shocked if they trade away the pick. This is not a team that has immediate urgency to win now. I think that they've been itching for years to try to rebuild, start from the ground up, what I think they would say, build a sustainable winner from scratch. That's jargon for saying try to clear out the cap sheet so it can continue to work 4 years from now, 5 years from now. I'd be surprised. And I don't think the rest of the roster would be ready to win big unless they were to get a superstar. And right now, I don't see any superstars clamoring to go to Orlando, not because Orlando isn't nice. Mm-hmm. And there's no state tax there, by the way.
Right, right, right.
Just because they're not in a position to go ahead and win. So I'd be surprised if they move that pick. I don't expect that to happen.
Well, let's talk about Holmgren, because I think you're right. Jabari Smith is a fully formed person. No, not fully formed. He's more formed than Chet Holmgren is. And you know he's an elite shooter. You know that he has the possibility to be a very effective wing defender with length and size. The thing about Holmgren, first of all, I was stunned. He towered over David Robinson. Towered over David Robinson, who's 7'1". So this kid's got to be at least 7'3". You know, like, that shocked me. I know some people were joking that David shrunk, and he's, you know, he's old now and he's shrunk, and maybe he's lost an inch, but still. And in Chicago, everybody was obviously talking about this. And what I kept saying was, Josh, to your point, it's not that I don't think Chet Holmgren will get hurt because he's skinny. What worries me about Holmgren is the kind of inadvertent banging knees. He turns, somebody elbows him in the neck or in the head or something. It's a non-basketball play. That's where I think he could get injured because he's got no pad anywhere on his body. There's no padding anywhere. You know, it's not like he has, you know, this huge chest or big arms or big shoulders or big legs. Everywhere he gets hit is just bone and a little bit of muscle. You know, so and if he gets hit by mistake somewhere, I just worry. That's what I worry about with him. I think he is a special defender at the rim. Like, he is really good defending at the rim. So I wonder what, you know, again, to your point, with the history of injuries they've had, especially to their front court guys, that they expect it to be further along now than they are. I just don't know. Can you take a chance on a guy whose body screams coming in like this is going to take a while for him to build up? Now, can he hold 220, 225, maybe 230? Maybe someday, but not now, not tonight. You know what I mean?
Well, 100%. Well, I don't know what it's like to not have any cushion because I have that sports writer physique at the moment. When I look at Holmgren, I wonder, could he carry successfully another 30 pounds? Yeah, could that frame, exactly. Not only could he put it on, but would it overtax his joints, his feet? And right. That's what would concern me. That's what would concern me. Would his joints hold up over the long haul, putting on the weight he will need to put on in order to scrap with the larger guys in the league?
Yeah. Yeah.
But also,
you're smiling.
Because the difficult position is, can Orlando afford to pass him up and this dude becomes the next generation superstar and you had him? You know, like, that's where it's such an impossible situation, because there's a part of Chet that screams wave of the future, right?
Right.
And
yes,
to me, that's just the tough part. I'm with you. I don't know if I take him, but oh man, every time he has a big game, if he ends up, you know, you're looking at, I mean, it's not comparable with Greg Oden, but you're looking at the KD Greg Oden situation. And some of these same doubts about Chet, we heard about Kevin Durant, correct? Right?
Yes.
Like, the dude couldn't lift 185, literally could not do it.
Right.
Could not get it up one time. So that's the part where it's like, oh, that's a tough spot, Orlando. Like, yeah. I don't know what they do in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that vividly. And I remember a lot of people not thinking KD could hold up. Same thing. Like, now, he was a wing player. It was different. He's not in the hole. He's not banging against 300-pounders every night.
That's a huge difference.
Big difference, you know. But even then, it was like, I don't know if this guy's, you know, he was 6'10 at the time. 6'10 jump shooter, skinny. And he's held up. You know, his injuries are not because of his body, you know, that he's had over the years. So I don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they do. How aggressive do you think they'll be, Josh, in terms of kind of thinking about, not that they're going to trade the pick, but just not even seeing what's out there, but just the philosophically, would they even think about, you know, the opportunity cost of giving up a generational player versus 8 to 9 more wins by trading it for vets? You know what I mean? Like, is that, how much of that's even in the equation?
I don't think that's in the equation for them because they have already sacrificed a season to tank. And if you're going to do that, you better go the full 100 yards, or in this case, 94 feet, right? They wanted to rebuild to try to get that generational player, someone who they could form that franchise around. And to Marcus's point, if they feel like Chet Holmgren's upside is so much higher than Jabari Smith, then they've got an even tougher decision to make. So, but I cannot imagine them. Could they trade down to number two?
That's what I was going to say. That's all exactly right, what I was going to say. OKC's yeah. got 7 billion draft picks. Could they move down to number two?
Yes, potentially. Yes, sure. You'd have to entertain the discussion.
Right.
You'd have to. You know, one of the things that fascinates me most is how these teams go into the draft with a really good idea of what the teams ahead of them want to do. Mm-hmm. And in this case, let's just say they flip-flop with OKC. Well, the word out on the street, and correct me if I'm wrong, the scuttlebutt is that the Thunder are enamored with Holmgren.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case and you want to get Smith anyway, then by all means, trade down. Trade down, get Smith at 2, reduce the burden of expectations on him, bring aboard some draft capital. So yes, they're going to have to think that through, and you got 30 days to do it. 30 days to do it.
I was thinking along those lines when I was talking about trading the pick, and obviously OKC is one, but I was thinking, do they go and Kings at 4, and you get number 4, and you get a Harrison Barnes type? I was thinking a more along those lines. Get down, get the veteran, still yeah. get a pick. But I do wanted to ask you about the like, you've seen these two teams, right? You've seen the climb, right? Where do you think the league is when it comes to the balance of veterans and youth? And this has been a topic all year with the Warriors, because they've got the veterans at the top, and they got these young dudes at the bottom. And the question was, can you win and develop, right? Can you win and develop at the same time? And now they're, you know, one win from heading to the finals. How important do you think the league is getting away from the veterans? Like, get somebody here to teach you how to win. Do you see the value of that in DC with the Wizards, or is this league still going to be trending towards young? Let's, you know, you got OKC at the top, right? All these young players. Who's the guy who gets minutes in Orlando? Who's over 25 is, I think, Gary Harris, like one guy. So it's like,
well, Terrence Ross has to be over 25.
Terrence Ross still gets minutes. Oh, that's right.
About 30.
Yeah.
I forgot about Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross is still in Orlando.
Yes. Wait, before you answer that, I got to take a break, because our producer said take a break about now. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Josh Robbins and Marcus Thompson on Hoops Adjacent.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, we're back on Hoops Adjacent with Marcus Thompson and with Josh Robbins, and we're talking
Terrence
about
Terrence Ross is 30, by the way.
Yes, I couldn't believe they didn't trade him last year. Like, there were a lot of teams wanted him, including the local team could have used him. But Marcus's question, Josh, was about, you know, where's the league in terms of the mix between youth and experience, and is it tipping one way or the other?
I think it depends on the individual situation. For example, we brought up OKC. Right now, they have no incentive to try to win those 8 extra games a year if it's going to prevent them from getting the first or second pick in a draft. Golden State had the perfect situation for the Jordan Pools, the Jonathan Kamingas. I just don't agree with the philosophy. You throw a young guy out there, let him make mistakes, play, he automatically gets better. I think young players develop best when they have structure around them and they're playing for something that matters, mm-hmm. where they have to improve on the fly and the team's future depends on it. For a Jordan Poole, for a Kuminga, I think it's just been so wonderful for them to have to play these high leverage games and to produce under critical circumstances and then be held accountable by the whole team to do better. So my take on it is that each situation is different and some teams are desperate to tank. Some teams can manage to win and develop at the same time. And it sure as heck helps that you have an established pecking order there where the young guys don't have to do too much.
Yeah. Well, let's bring it to local. Since you do cover the Wizards now, and I know you know I've been banging this for the last several weeks about the Wizards in Orlando. To me, Orlando would be an obvious trade partner for the Wizards because they have a surplus of point guards. They have Cole Anthony, and they have Markelle Fultz, and they have Jalen Suggs. Now, I don't think they're going to trade Cole Anthony. I think they like Cole Anthony and think he's got a bright future. My guess is they would rather hold on to Fultz since they gave him an extension. To me, that leaves Suggs, who is a young guy. I'm not quite sure how he's supposed to play in that rotation right now. I guess you could play them all together, but that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense either. So to me, Josh, if the Wizards are in the market for a point guard and they don't want to spend what it would take to bring in a Malcolm Brogdon, who's on his own big contract, and you're about to give Bradley Beal the bag, the full bag, wouldn't someone like Jalen Suggs make a lot of sense? A guy that everybody in the league says is a great defensive passing point guard who does not need the ball in his hands to be effective.
Yes, because he cares about the. He plays defense like a football player plays defense.
He was a football player. Because
he cares. And one of the Wizards' biggest problems isn't just defense. I mean, it is defense, but defense at the point of attack. And he's a 6'4", hard-nosed, tough guy. To his detriment. Mm-hmm. Where he would not fit in too well is the skill game. Not very skilled right now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't shoot well.
Right.
Still has to... I think offensively he would be better with the ball in his hands in terms of being a playmaker. If they were to just station him out in the corner, he wouldn't be that effective. But right. he'd be good for them on defense. And you know, all three of those guys, they all work hard. Anthony, Fultz, Suggs. But I think Suggs is not someone who typically gets outworked. So could he make up that skill deficit? Yes, he could. But each one of those three people, they do one thing better than the other two, but they don't have everything.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'm disappointed in you two. I'm disappointed.
Why? We're talking Wizards?
No, you're talking Wizards, and you're not talking about the one move that the Wizards absolutely have to make. You don't bring up point guards in D.C. without talking about what they really should do. Bring John Wall home.
I've already written that.
That's your point guard. That's your point guard right here. That's why I'm disappointed. You need to beat this drum. Bring John Wall home.
I wrote that 2 months ago, Marcus.
You need John Wall.
After the buyout. Obviously.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
I agree with you.
That's the point guard of the future and the present.
No.
Okay, maybe not the future.
Not the future.
Saying, well, you went too far.
But there's going to have to be some, what we call it, rapprochement between John and Ted Leonsis for that to happen, because Ted was done with John at the end. You know, done. Like, done. Get him out of here, done. So there's going to have to be a meeting of the minds or lunch or something, a mea culpa on John's part. And I wrote this when I wrote the story, is that what I was told was that Beal, it's not like Beal's beating the drum for a reunion, but he's not saying hell no. Okay. He's not saying, hell no, I don't, I'm not, I would never play with John again. That is not what he's saying. I think what he wants them to do is get Malcolm Brogdon. But again, Josh, I think Malcolm Brogdon is on a very big contract right now. And so I don't know if you're going to give Beal the bag and you're paying Porzingis and you have at least some, I would think, some interest in re-signing Kyle Kuzma after next year. I don't know that you can bring in a fourth guy making a lot of money in Brogdon.
Not when you ain't in the playoffs making a bunch of extra money to pay for all that, right?
You know, like, and Ted's not going to be a taxpayer. Not happening. So that's why I think a guy on his rookie contract like a Suggs, whose value is enhanced by the fact that you don't have to pay him for four more years, I think is why a guy like that, or a guy like John off of a buyout who maybe signs for the mid-level, you know.
Yeah.
That would make some sense. Yes.
All right. The last five number 10 picks. Thon Maker. Oof. Zach Collins. 2017. 2018. Mikal Bridges.
Okay, that worked.
2019. Cam Reddish.
Okay.
2020. Jalen Smith.
Nope. Ooh, good Lord.
And 2021. Zaire Williams. What can the Wizards get a player that's a game changer at 10? Not a star, but somebody who could come in and make a difference.
Paul Pierce was also the 10th pick. Caron Butler was the 10th pick. So there has been
a lot of good 10 picks.
There's been some good ones, but there's been some bad ones.
There's been some hit or miss lately.
Right. It's been very hit or miss. Josh, if they stay at 10, what do you think?
I liked exactly where you're headed last week. When you did your reporting at the combine, I think Jeremy Sochan would be a good pick for them. I know the Wizards fans are tired of seeing guys on the roster who are 6'7" and 6'9", but you know what? You get the best player. Mm-hmm. You get the best player. You don't worry so much about fit and position and how tall he is relative to everybody else unless you have a size problem. I like him. I like Dyson Daniels. I think that they would help. I think they would help. And they would help Sochan, particularly defensively. Daniels, in terms of his passing, would be intriguing. Those are the two areas I think I would like to see them go. I think drafting Ty Washington Jr. at 10 would be an overdraft. Mm-hmm. That may be a case where they would actually, if they are enamored with him, they may want to try to trade down.
Yes.
So those now. Could the youngster from Arizona,
Mathurin?
Yeah, could he, if he's available, should he interest them? Yes, but I don't think he's going to be available at number 10.
I'd be shocked if he's there at 10. Yes.
So
I don't know if Sohan's going to be there at 10, to be honest with you. But yes, Josh, I agree with you. I think defense, they have to start. Somebody has to come into this building, into this organization that wants to play some defense. Somebody has to come in at some point.
You better stop disrespecting Mr. Daniel Gafford. Come on.
But here's the problem with Gaff, who I like. Marcus, you can't play more than 6 minutes a pop. That's it. And then the tank's on E, and then he starts fouling people. You know what I mean? Like, I love Gaff, but he at least this year, he still, Josh, you may remember this, like when they got him from Chicago, there was this kind of scuttlebutt that, he's got sports asthma. That's why he struggles to sustain. And then the first day of training camp, I don't know if it was me or somebody asked him, well, do you have sports asthma and what are you doing about it? And he said, no, I was just out of shape last year. I don't have sports asthma. So, okay, he got in great shape. And it was the same problem. Marcus, like, he would give you 4 or 5 minutes and then foul. You know, and so it's, you know, there's a reason why they went and got Porzingis. I'll put it that way. That wasn't by happenstance.
He just feels like he's on that JaVale McGee trajectory, right? Where he just keeps playing, keeps getting better. He'll be
I think he's good.
Nice contributing big.
I'm not saying trade him or get rid of him. Keep him. He's on a very fair contract.
I like that dude, man.
I like him too, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think he's a starter, and I don't think he is a defensive foundational piece. Does he block shots? Yes.
I will just always champion Gafford.
But.
And Ish Smith.
Well, that's another story. I love Ish, but I think Ish is, I think two tours of duty is enough for the Ish man here in DC. Love Ish. You know, Ish is a citizen of the world, man. He'll, wherever he winds up, he's fine. He's fine. He'll land on his feet. He'll be good. So,
Josh, how much input would Bradley Beal have on, you know, this draft situation? Considering, you know, he's got a pretty big stake in this team. So, how do they handle that?
Well, isn't that an interesting question? I think that he will be, David, feel free to please chime in on this. I would assume that they would have a short list of names to present to Mr. Beal in the 24, at the minimum, the 24 to 72 hours before the draft. I'm sure that they would consult with Brad heading into free agency,
yes,
heading into possible trades. You know, if we recall, and Beal phrased it this way the last time he was available to the press, he vouched for Spencer Dinwiddie. In other words,
yes.
No major move occurs within the Wizards that he isn't at least consulted on.
Right. Yes. I think that's absolutely correct. And it will be that way, I think, going forward. But to your point, he vouched for Spencer Dinwiddie, and that did not work out well at all.
Well, that's what I was thinking. At some point, the team said, you know what? I've talked to you enough, buddy.
You know, the five most beautiful words in the English language. Yes, I think that's exactly correct. Josh, I agree with you. David Aldridge said both. This is my afternoon. This is great. Made my day.
All right. So, look, we got to take another quick break. We'll be back. I want to ask you more about Beal and the bag and the $250 million that they're about to give him. We'll be right back. Hoops adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back on Hoops Adjacent with Josh Robbins and Marcus Thompson. So we're about to talk about Bradley Beal, who's about to get $250 million. Just blows my mind.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
Put it that way.
$250 million to play, you know. So there's no doubt that that's what's going to happen, right? We all are in agreement now that that's what's going to happen. There's no trade. There's no free agent. Tour, he's going to take the bag and stay.
Might he enjoy listening to pitches? Perhaps. I mean, I haven't heard anything that he would.
Yeah.
But because a sign and trade is limited to 4 years, and since it takes two to ten, he would have to want to do it, and there are lower raises annually.
Right.
I think he's coming back. I think he's coming back to Washington.
Yes, I agree.
Can I just chime in with something?
Of course.
It's so amazing. I understand all the reasons why $250 million for someone who is not a top five player or even a top 10 player in the league worries fans. They're right. They're right. Okay. It's just such. Remember where I came from though. I mean, I came from Washington, but professionally, remember where I came from. I came from covering the Dwight Mayer, where the fans in Orlando, and back when Orlando wasn't just relevant, they were near the top of the heap in the league now.
Right, right.
Those fans were so desperate to see Dwight stay, and for good reason. And to me, and DA, I would love to hear what you see when you're out and about because people recognize you. I get the sense that a lot of Wizards fans want the team to move on. Yes. Move on.
Yes, yes. I believe that is... I would not say it is a huge majority, but I think it is certainly a plurality, I'll put it that way, of Wizards fans want them to rebuild. the way that they see other teams rebuild, the way that they see Memphis rebuild, the way that they see Toronto
rebuild. To do that from the 10 pick, though.
You know, we're going to get young guys with huge upside that play defense and coach them up and see how far we can go. And they haven't seen that in a long time. And again, that's why I think it's important to start changing. You have to change the roster to bring in guys that care about guarding, because you can't win in this league if you don't do that. And they're not good enough offensively to outscore people. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had five guys all shooting 40 from three and he just bombs away. They don't. So how are
that doesn't work in the playoffs anyway, though.
Right, exactly. But even
trying to win a championship,
right, yeah. Right. It does not. But even in the regular season, they don't have the firepower to play that way. So the only way that I know of that you can be in a game every night, no matter how you shoot, is if you guard people. I don't think it's any secret that, you know, Miami and Boston and Golden State and Dallas are all excellent defensive teams, you know, and that's how you win in this league year in and year out. And the Wizards have been dreadful, other than 13 games at the start of last season. They have been dreadful defensively for years now. And I don't know why they continue to go down this path of we're just gonna try to outscore people. We don't have the horses to do that. Like I would understand if Golden State played that way, but even Golden State, no, they play defense. Like they guard people. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's just crazy. It's crazy to me. So I don't know. What do I know? All right, so Marcus,
you both know a lot.
Marcus, who do you think Golden State would want to play more in the finals, Miami. Or Boston?
Miami.
You think Miami? Okay.
I think Miami.
Right.
To me, the question when you're dealing with the Warriors, it just always begins with what's your plan for Steph? If you don't have a plan for that, you're not beating the Warriors anyway. Right. And Boston, they can roll out a nice plan. And it's got to be a 2-3 layer plan. Sure, it can't be one guy, right?
Right.
One guy ain't stopping Steph. But they got dudes. They can throw Marcus Smart at him. They can switch Jaylen Brown onto him. They can trap with Robert Williams or Grant Williams, right? They just got Al Horford.
Right.
They've got a lot of options to throw at Steph. And I don't think they have that amount of options, right? I don't think they have. I mean, if you start the game with Jimmy Butler on Steph, that series is over.
Right.
They're going to wear him down, and he's carrying offense as it is. So now Miami's great defensively,
yes,
but their plan for Steph is not as strong as Boston. That's how you beat that. It begins with that. So Boston, they're a tough matchup. And I do think no matter – they came out to the Bay – and Steph got hurt in that game, but that game was over.
Right.
I mean, they gave the Warriors something to think about. Yeah, the Warriors are 2-0 against Miami, I think. But Boston came out here and put the clamps down. And it was like, wait a second, what just happened? You know, so I do think that's a tough matchup. But both teams will be so banged up, right? Like,
right.
They're dealing with so much that if the Warriors sweep this series, they'll just be at home chilling, watching. So I do think it'll be tough. I think both will be tough, but if they had to choose, it's Miami because, you know, Boston just has a lot to throw at you, and they've got their own Draymond Green and right. Marcus Smart.
Right. Plus, they got to do – and I mean, Jimmy Butler can do this too, and he's done it in the playoffs, but
yeah,
Jason Tatum can get 40 anytime. Anytime.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, yeah, I think I agree with you. It's a better matchup. So Josh, what do you think at the end of the day happens in Washington in terms of the pick? And also, we've talked about Orlando. Are there other teams that you think we've heard that Houston at 3 and Sac at 4 may want to move out of those picks? What do you think that happens?
I would love to know just how aggressive Washington will be to try to move up to 4 or 3. Supposedly, Portland wouldn't mind moving up to 7. And certainly that's a team with some real deficiencies now in terms of size and in the front court with Nurkic going to unrestricted free agency. That's a team where I think Washington could,
could trade some of its surplus.
Yes, yes.
Height.
Yes.
And, you know, Dame, he's a hell of a player. Hell of a player. But he's 32.
Yes.
And time's running out to surround him with people. So, yes, seven's a possibility. You know, Washington should consider going up to seven.
Yes.
I would prefer, if I were had a rooting interest, I'd prefer three or four. Right?
If you're going to swing and miss, swing big and miss. I agree.
That's right.
I agree.
The problem with drafting 10th or even 7th is that by that time, there are a lot fewer two-way players.
Yes.
Or the players have some holes.
Yes.
Or more holes. So if I were running a team, I'd prefer to have a choice of people who have fewer weaknesses.
If they could get up to three, I really like Bancaro. I think Bancaro would be an excellent player for them. I think he could step in. He's ready to play tonight. Now, it doesn't.
Yes.
Now, is he a great defensive player? No. And is he a great three-point shooter? No. But the stuff that he does translates to the NBA immediately. The in-between game, that the elbow game that he has, the ability to get to the rim and get fouled, you know.
The passing, man.
Yeah.
passing,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just think he plays tonight. He plays in your game tonight. You know, like, you could plug and play with him. And this is what I'm going to write about this week in The Athletic. It's been so long. It's been a decade since the Wizards fan base had any type of hope long term. You know what I mean? Like, when they drafted Beal, and that was 2 years after they drafted Wall. So in 2012, Wizards fans could go, oh, snap, that's our backcourt for the next decade. What? That could work. You know, let's see how good they can do. And they got them to the seventh game of the conference semifinals. Okay, well, and they haven't had anything remotely interesting to care about or root about since, really. So a decade is long enough. Well, 50 years is long enough since they haven't won 50 games since 1979, which is just absurd. But
wow.
Josh, thank you for your time, my man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yes.
My pleasure. We only live a few miles apart. Feel free to drop out. Well, I would have to clean my apartment first.
It's good to see you. It's always good to see
both.
You. Marcus, my man,
we have made a
culpa to the Orlando fan base. Hopefully they have accepted our apologies.
You have nothing to apologize for, DJ.
Oh, they came at me hard. They came at me hard. I'm unsubscribing. I'm like, oh well, sorry. I'm sorry. just joshing with you a little bit. just having a little fun.
Maybe 10 years down the road, you're talking about them winning a championship.
Which team are we talking about winning a championship?
Well, Orlando.
Orlando. Could be.
You know, you want good stuff said about the team that you root for. The team's got to win.
Yes, they do have to hold up their
bottom line.
You got to win.
Yes.
You got to win.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
It's a results-oriented business, as Bill Parcells said quite accurately, you know. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, y'all, thank you for listening on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get this fine American podcast. We always want you to leave 5 stars. But Marcus, if these folks want to leave less than 5 stars, what should they do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters.
Haters? Why are you hating on the show? Just leave that 5-star. We're out. Woo. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, Josh. Thank you, my man. That was great.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.